This was a man. makes this different. Nathaniel specifically says he's talking about his enemies. He says, they repay me evil for good. You go back to verse 11, he's a malicious witness. These are people that don't like them. For all intents and purposes, he doesn't like them. They're not on good terms. And yet, when they forsake, he does this. So why is he asking here? Well, it's not just to show that he's in mourning over that. It's to humble himself because it takes humility. Pray for one's enemies. When someone would be kind to you, when they have nothing to do with you, when they would be happy to see you sick or worse off. We have to humble ourselves to pray for someone, to wish for their well-being. And so that's what David is doing. In addition to his prayers for them, again, we see prayer and fasting going together hand in hand many times. But he's fasting to humble himself. Maybe just to help remind himself.
Thank you.
says that they were worshiping and fasting. When the Holy Spirit gave this proclamation that Saul and Barnabas were to be set apart, the Lord filled with the strength. So they were all already fasting just as part of their regular worship again to help them set their minds on God, to help meditate, to help them focus and go along with their prayers. And then after this, the third thing we want to notice is that after being given this special assignment, Spirit speaks and says that they're going to be stuck on their own still on this journey. It says then after fasting came, right? So they were already fasting just to try to focus on God. And then again, separately, it mentions fasting and praying, knowing that they'd be going on this journey. Fasting is seen a lot of times when we have an important decision to make. Again, we see this throughout the New Testament. Also before they would make a decision, it says they would fast. Clear their minds for what was going to happen for everyone else to know that Saul and Barnabas were going to be gone. And who knows what might happen to them for Saul and Barnabas? They would clear their minds to make this decision that yes, we will go, even though they didn't know where they were going to go or what might happen to them. They prayed for success in this mission, in this journey. So you see it being done there in the first century church. It's something that they did, something they obviously saw value in. But beyond the fact that we just see that same thing done throughout the scriptures, both in the Old and the New Testaments, under the Old Law and under the New, there are a few warnings that are given. We want to consider these as well. One thing for us to make perfectly clear is that fasting does not make godless. And that might seem like you're stating the obvious, because of course we can't it's worth our while to make the point that if someone chooses to fast along with their prayers, along with their meditation, along with focusing their mind on God, it does not bring them necessarily any closer to God than someone who is studying and praying and worshiping as best they can without fasting. This isn't like a scientific study where you have a control group or some fast at some point and you see the result. That doesn't mean we can tell any difference. You look over here in Isaiah, the 58th chapter. In Isaiah 58, they're starting with verse 2. It says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if we were a nation that did righteousness, did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments, they delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. And of course, Isaiah speaking here as he did throughout this whole book of the prophecy of the nation that they were doing right before God. The prophecy that they're not doing what's right and they wouldn't make correction. Thank you. okay, you know, that's good for them. It's a noble thing. Well, maybe. Maybe not. Not necessary. And the biggest warning given regarding fasting is one. Again, Jesus himself. Over at Matthew 6, chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 6, what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said there, starting with verse 16, he said, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And of course, we see the same description given by Jesus when it came to giving, when it came to practical doing. He said that make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. In fact, he advised them to take steps to make sure that no one is even aware that they're fasting. If that's all you're after, he says, they have their reward. Don't be like the hypocrites. When you do this, do it in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So there's definitely some warnings given regarding fasting that you do it the right way or the wrong way. You do it for the right reasons or the wrong reasons. So if you choose to engage in this, be aware of all of that. You have to keep these things in mind. So let me get on to kind of on a practical look regarding fasting. This is a rather short lesson, because there's only so much we can say. And there's really not a whole lot that's mentioned throughout the scriptures regarding fasting. There's not a whole really detailed how to do it for this or that. We just have what we have to go by regarding what it is and isn't. So, as we've seen throughout the scriptures, it's something that people do in terms of mourning, it's something they do if they're trying to humble themselves, and especially if they're trying to get closer to God, to focus on God, to meditate on His Word, and especially in conjunction with prayer. But we talk about what fasting is and what it does and how we can use it to make the main thing we want to do first. The fact that it is a helpful tool. If it wasn't helpful, if it didn't do anything, it wouldn't bother it. But obviously, they see some value in there. It has some merit because you see it being done years and years and years throughout the Old Testament and continuing on into the new. That's probably the most important point for us to make, is that if this is something we only saw in the Old, it was never brought up after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then it would absolutely have ordinary relevance. And it's not for us anymore. We are under a new law, a new covenant. But since we continue to see it throughout the book that was there in the first century, it's not something that was done away with. So it is still, just as much as it was for them, a helpful tool. It is something that can help us. Take our mind off the physical thing. Focus on spiritual things. It can help us in times of grieving. It can help us in times of wanting to just humble ourselves. To get our mind right and get our priorities straight. But we have to understand, as much as it is a helpful tool, it can be a helpful tool. Put it like that. It is a personal matter between that individual and God. Again, that point is what Jesus was getting at. When he says, when you fast, you don't look gloomy, you don't put on a show. It's not about others. This is between you and the Lord. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you if you choose to fast. That's something between you and God. Of course, don't know if you're doing it for the right reason or if you're doing it just to try to prove a point to someone. But we'll say this along with the fact that it is not a command. There is nothing we see throughout scriptures where fasting is commanded. At least not in the New Testament. It's something they have where the law of Moses, sure, we see it being done. But while we see it continuing to be done throughout the New Testament, there in the first century, it was never once commanded. It's worth our while to consider, because Jesus did it, his disciples did it, they continued to do it, even after the church was established and were in the new law and the new covenant. But I want to make it perfectly clear, we are not defined this in any way because the scriptures don't define it. We are not commanded to fast. It's just something that is there, something that is available to us to be a tool to help us in these times where it could be helpful. But it is not commanded. Ephesians has it all, the churches of the saints. And then the last verse, verse 40, it says all things should be done decently and in order. Okay, the context of this passage is saying that when they came together, the Lord said one person prophesied over here, another person speaking in tongues, you know, they were having order to things. To know what's going on with each one of them in his turn. That is not a God of chaos, he's not a God of confusion. He's God of peace. So, our worship services, doesn't matter if we have two songs in a prayer or three songs, that is inconsequential. But what matters is that we're all on the same page and we're all doing things decently and in order. And what I'm saying here is, well, that applies to us in the assembly as we, as a congregation, as a church, worship the Lord. It doesn't mean that our lives in general should be any less different. God is not a God of confusion. His purpose to what he does. I'll mention in class, we look out the window and we see a God.